We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Fatherhood is not something that you can just read about. Fatherhood is something that you actually have to live out. And joining me today and the other pastors here on the platform are three very special fathers who have lived out fatherhood, who knows what it means to be a father and a dad. And we have invited them today. It's been a long making work here to get all of us here and coordinated. We were a little worried about the time. You get six pastors on the platform. Just be glad you guys are at the 9:30. That's all I can tell you. Pray for the 11 o'clock hour, all right? We wanted to bring our dads here and have them talk about real life, the highs and lows of fatherhood, to share some humorous moments, some lighthearted times, and some things that they learned on the journey to encourage us as dads and as fathers, and to remind us all here today that there is a perfect, loving Heavenly Father. Amen, church? Amen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Pastor Chad, if you would you introduce your father?
This is my dad, Steve Houghton, here on my right, and he grew up, was born in New York, but grew up in Ohio, and most of you, if you've heard anything, a story I've told about my family and my parents is that all I could remember as a kid growing up, we were always around deaf ministry. I don't mean deaf as in dying, but deaf people who cannot hear, and sometimes it's hard to get the enunciation out, but as a child growing up, when I was actually born, I was born in Tennessee. They were my parents were at Tennessee Temple University and working with deaf people even there. And we moved to Jacksonville, Florida, where I really grew up. For 17 years, my dad was the deaf pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And in the year 2000, he left there to go to St. Augustine, Florida, where he now currently resides and has been there since, been working with the deaf ministry in a local church there. The Florida School of Deaf and Blind in St. Augustine is a very popular school for a deaf school there. He's been working with them hand in hand interpreting, but also has been working as an evangelist to the deaf ministries at various churches. He will go into a church who wants to start a deaf ministry or is trying to get it going, is needing some leadership and someone to help encourage and build them up. And so really, even as of late, he's been a little bit south of Daytona working in a church trying to teach how to interpret for deaf people and also to hopefully find someone who will be willing to take on that ministry and so he can pour into them. And so as of late, that's what my dad and my mom have been doing down there south of Daytona, but they've been enjoying the Florida life, so I'm glad that my dad could be with us here and my mom with us here today.
Amen.
So.
Welcome to the show.
Take time to introduce you to my dad, and this is Ray Warren, and he got his picture, but you can see him too, so I guess, I don't know, see either one of them. Maybe the picture, there he is. He was born February 13th, on Friday the 13th. That should have been an omen to everybody, really. but February 13th, 1953 in Houston, Texas, and he's a middle child. I don't know how many middle children we have. Nobody? No, we got one. All right. Yeah. Middle child's got an older brother and a younger sister, and graduated from University of Houston in 1975, and a few years later, I met my mom, and after a very brief courtship, they had gotten married, and 11 months later, the prize you see on the screen.
Now, oh, boy.
We
must hasten.
Really had the privilege of being born to these fine parents, and my dad left a successful business career for God's call on his life to be a pastor, and moved to Hammond and Indiana there and went to Bible college, graduated, and we moved to a little town in North Carolina and pastored a church there for a great many years. When I was really young, we moved, and I think we have a picture of me really young, and we moved too. There you go. there's a lot of little great...
He's still upside down.
Yes, he is.
My dad said, I'm still upside down. He graduated there from Bible college in 85, graduated with his doctorate 10 years later, has been pastoring for 30 years, has been just a godsend in my life, a steady, faithful, dependable man, faithful to his family, his wife, his church, and to me. and I'm glad he's able to be here today.
This is my dad, Tom Adams, and he was born in 1951 in Brandon, Pennsylvania. Anybody from PA in here? Look at all these anointed people of God. He grew up in a children's home. I've shared this with the church before. He was abandoned at a very young age, and but it was in the children's home that God had a plan for him, and he met the love of his life, my mom. My dad enlisted into the Air Force during the Vietnam War, and they got married, and there they are. He got married and got shipped off to Germany. That's where I came into the picture, and my dad was saved. Pray for us. My dad was saved in his 30s while living in California and serving at Mather Air Force Base. Later, he was stationed at RAF Mildenhall, UK, in the United Kingdom, in England, in 1982. And God began dealing with his heart. He eventually surrendered his life to the ministry and called to preach. He served our country for 15 years before being medically retired due to a botched surgery that was performed on him while he was in active duty. And it was, I think, God's hand during this very difficult time that God began to impress upon him and affirm to him his call into the ministry. And in his heart and in his mind, I think the Lord sealed the deal, shall we say. And he was called to pastor New Testament Baptist Church in England in 1986. I have a really neat picture of him and my mom there coming up. There it is. And there my dad is. That's one of the pictures that I remember my dad best. Three-piece suit, in a cane, wingtip shoes, and full of fire for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so New Testament Baptist Church, where my dad served almost his entire ministry time, was a military church for airmen and their families that were stationed. Under my dad's leadership, the church went from 80 people to averaging over 300, and a church that constantly rotated. So every 4 years, you pretty much cleared the deck. You can imagine looking at the church roster and knowing that in every 4 years, these folks are going to be gone. And the church continued to grow. He oversaw three building programs at the church, received a doctorate degree from Trinity Baptist College, has traveled extensively all throughout Europe, Romania, pastor schools, conferences. Faithfully preached the word, has been probably one of my greatest friends in ministry, a great example, a faithful father, a man who loves Jesus Christ, loves his family. I'm glad he's here. Thanks for being here with me today, Dad. I want to start off by saying that every man up here is not perfect, okay? You should know that. You're looking at six rotten sinners on this platform. And if you don't believe me, just talk to my wife or kids or my dad, all right? And we'll confirm that. We are all pastors, but we weren't always pastors. In fact, if you would have met my dad before his salvation, you probably wouldn't have liked him at all. And that'd probably be the same with so many of us today. We all have problems, all right? We've all failed. We've all made tragic mistakes. We've made critical errors. But we've rebounded because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're sitting here, because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And we know that without his forgiveness in our lives, we would not be where we are today. And we also know that we would be a total mess if it were not for our wives and mothers. And so I'd like to introduce the mothers who came down as well. And so I think over here we have Joyce and Jenny Warren. Would you guys just wave your hands right here? Would you welcome them? And my mom, who's over here, Marge Adams. We're very thankful. And then, of course, our wives who are here serving with us, Amber and Angela and Christina. And so thankful for their ministry and support of us. I think, give them a hand. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate you. Everybody knows that growing up, there are some special moments, funny things that happen, lighthearted times, embarrassing situations, things that maybe sometimes aren't funny at the moment, all right? But you look back, and they're funny as you look back on them. In fact, I think God allows these moments and these seasons into our life to keep us humble, to keep us happy, and to help other people. Because sometimes as a parent, you think, am I the only one whose kid does this? And then you see somebody else's kid doing it in the store, and you just hug your wife and have a little moment and say, look, honey, we're so normal. We're so normal. And we've all had them. There are certainly some fun times, some memorable moments, some things that have transpired in all of our lives that we just feel it would be appropriate to share. And the way this is going to work is we just have some things we want to talk about and share. And so I want to kind of get things rolling, and I'm I'm going to start over here with Pastor Chad and his father, and I want you guys to share some humorous moments or a moment in time that was funny for you. Please do not spare any of the gory details, Mr. Houghton. We really do need to know. It's God's will. And then, if you would, just speak to some of the fun times that you guys shared together.
Well, we have discussed this, and my dad actually talked about a story that he wanted to tell, and I thought, you know, it'd be great if you told your side of the story from your perspective, then I'll tell my side. So we're going to try to keep this brief. It's a glorious story. But, Dad, will you talk a little bit about this embarrassing money? That's really funny now. Wasn't funny then. And then start us off with that, and then I'll come in later on.
He stole my car.
Wow.
But I'm 66. I don't remember all the details. Honestly, I don't remember negative things. I remember positive things. So,
amen.
When he asked me to try to remember some embarrassing things, it was really hard. But you can't forget a car stolen. So I'm asking Chad if you would tell your side of the story, because
all right.
I think the police found you, right?
Oh man.
You sure do remember the good parts. All right. Long story, very short. Yes, I was very foolish and decided that with my buddy that we would sneak out. And so I took the car. It was borrowed, and made it all the way to my buddy's house, which is way across town. Thinking about back about it now, I drove. I didn't have a permit. I had literally stole my brother's. I guess I stole that. I stole my brother's library card, thinking that would somehow, in case I got caught. I don't know what I was thinking. So, yes, we did get stopped by a police officer, and we were right across the street from my buddy's house. And so I was actually more afraid of his dad, because his dad was like 300 pounds and like 6 foot something, and I thought for sure he was going to slay us that night. So he called my dad, my parents, and I remember this conversation vividly. He says, I have your son here. It's 3 a.m. He said, I have your son here at my house. And he says, no, he's in bed. And he says, no, I assure you, he's right here. And so my dad started to make his way here, and all the thoughts that were going through my mind was, I know I'm going to die tonight. I know it. I know. I don't know how, but he's going to kill me. And I never will forget the car ride home, that I think that it was not funny at all. It was actually a really interesting moment for me, because I was more floored, and I don't know if this was the wisdom of God pouring through him, but I just knew it. We was dead silent the whole way home, and then finally he piped up and said, I think that you've had enough trauma tonight, because I actually had to sit in the cop car. That was a fun experience. And he said, I think that you've had enough trauma, and so I'm not going to punish you. And inside I was doing the hallelujah chorus, but my jaw dropped, because I couldn't believe it. And I'll never forget that the mercy that you showed me that night. Mm. And I thought for sure I was a goner. But going from that to a very memorable moment that we had a lot of fun together was something that I tell people about a lot, actually. And I'll never forget this. When I turned 16, the day that I turned 16, October 21st, my dad took me to get my driver's license. And he said, and I didn't know this part, I knew we were going to get the license, and as soon as we were done getting my license, he said, I'm going to take you, and he went and got me a car. On the very same day, it was one of the most special moments that I could remember as a father-son experience, and I just couldn't believe it. I was dumbfounded that you allowed me to have that kind of freedom to go off, even though I couldn't drive my car because it was a stick and I hadn't learned yet. But that was a very memorable moment for me, something that I hopefully I never will forget. So what's something that was fun, memorable moment for you that we shared together?
Your birth. Your birth. of course, you probably didn't enjoy it much, but I really enjoyed it. And then... I guess as he was growing up, I was able to beat him in ping pong. I've always enjoyed that, but now I don't enjoy it anymore. But I think probably one of the most memorable fun times was Six Flags. My wife and I both agree with that. We just really had a blast at Six Flags, and that was one of our most memorable times.
That's great. We normally do background checks on all of our staff. We didn't know that Chad was a car thief. I apologize to the church at large.
There's no record. No record.
Yeah, yeah. Micah?
Well, the funny or embarrassing moment, there are many, I guess. There's a lot.
Keep it short.
For me, but I guess I was talking to my dad about it. I said, for me, I think one of the most memorable ones that wasn't very funny at the moment is when we bought that gas grill when I was like a senior. I think I was a senior in high school or something. We bought a gas grill. And, when you there's a sign that's posted, right? Ready, made, and assembled. The price is $10. And it's like, well, we can assemble this. We don't need to pay $10 to have somebody assemble this. And we assembled. I thought it was he and I. He said my brothers might have helped. I don't remember, but I thought it was just he and I almost losing our salvation over the thing, working through this thing. And every time I came home from college and would see that gas grill, that infamous thing would there, and a couple of burner wouldn't work or something thing. Anytime I walk by a grill now, I have like PTSD. I can't process it. It just it hits me. I can't take it. So we pay $50 now to have somebody assemble something. Yeah.
Your dad doesn't.
No, he does. But we gave each other hard times, teased each other, just enjoyed good times together. And we look at fun and memorable moments. To me, they were, I just couldn't remember one particular moment. My dad just made the house fun continually. We were small things, making game nights. We put board games, card games, domino games, all these different things. Uno, chicken foot. It's a game. Anyway, we played lots of different things, and we had a blast. Everyone had to cheat to beat me, but other than that, that's how you remember it, right? We played lots of chess.
I remember catching you cheating the last time we played.
So just lots of, in the small moments, just having wonderful times, teasing one another, and so we've really enjoyed lots of moments together. So what about you, Dad?
Well, as I thought about this, we had three teenage boys in high school at the same time. Micah's the oldest. And I don't know what it was, but there was always some activity he had to go to. And the dollar value was always $50. I mean, if he was just going down to the store for nothing, it was $50. And I guess I lost my grace because one time he said, I need $50. I said, son, what? He said, it's just $50, Dad. So, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, it was always, it's just $50. Well, he had a car, and he was at work one day, and he had a road hazard, and he destroyed his tire, and he had to buy a tire. And he came home, and he wasn't throwing things, but he was in the mood to throw things. So what's the matter with you? He gave me the story. He said, I had to buy a tire. I said, really? How much did it cost you? $50. He said, Dad, do you have any idea how long I have to work at that fast food place in order to earn $50?
That's great.
By the time I pay taxes and I pay my tithe, do you have any idea? And I looked at him and smiled and said, it's just $50. That went on for almost 3 weeks. Every time he looked at me, I would say, it's just $50. And so finally one day he put his arm around me and he said, Dad, I get it. And that's one of my favorite moments.
That's awesome. That is great. Go ahead, Dad. Let's get this out of the way quickly.
Yeah.
Time is against us.
I want to say this first of all. And this is the truth. Everybody thinks they have good kids, but we had good kids. They never did us wrong. They never did anything. And so for me, that was a real joy to raise our kids. But now, if you were to ask me, perhaps what comes to my mind right away is when I think of a funny moment or something that sticks with me. There's loads of them, but here's the one. I come home from visitation with my wife, and I hear this noise up in the bathroom, and his younger brother is saying, "No, Todd, no, Todd." And all I hear is, "Sploosh." So I walk quietly around the corner, and Troy comes up out of the water, and Todd said, "One more time, and then we're done." And then Troy said, "No, Todd, no, Todd." And he said, "I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Boom, he went down again. And Troy was in his underwear, and Todd was fully dressed. And, I mean, I just laughed so hard, I didn't know what to do about it. I'll give you another real...
That's good. Yeah. Well, it was one.
This is quick, too.
We don't have time.
One more.
No, we can't.
Another time...
Oh, boy.
Another time I'd come home from visitation, and I noticed the lights were swinging in the kitchen. I mean, in the dining room. We had a dining room kitchen area. And both the boys are sitting there watching TV. You know there's something wrong when you walk in when you've been out for 2 hours. They don't turn around. You know there's something wrong. This light's swinging. And so I said, "Hey, what happened here?" "Oh, nothing." So I look on the table, and we have this wooden table, and I see these footprints. And Troy's always the one that squeals quick, so you go to him. And he said that Todd was playing Hulk Hogan and jumping off the table and trying to catch Troy as he ran into the living room. So those probably were two real funny things that kind of stick with me.
Well, since you brought up Hulk Hogan... My dad introduced me to, I know this will shock some of you, but we used to watch that, remember it was WWF wrestling, and now it's all perverted and nasty now, but when we watched it, it was holy. And there was a wrestler, a very well-known wrestler back in the day, and he would jump off the top rope, and he would shout this big word called Haku, and he'd throw his arms out real wide, and he'd Haku, and he'd fly in the air. Well, we were walking downtown in this really beautiful village in England. It was a gorgeous day, and my mom was darting in and out of stores, as ladies like to do, and my dad kind of lost sight of her, and he thought that he saw her from the background and saw her silhouette and thought, "Oh, that's Marge," and he said, "Todd, I'm going to go up and Haku her," and I said, "Okay." So he goes running up behind her and gets right next to her and goes, "Haku!" It wasn't my mother. It was some other woman. And she just took off running. And
I tried to catch her, and I couldn't.
I guess for me, our house really, it kind of was the Addams Family. It was a bit of a nut house. But we did have some great times. I think my dad and I would just both agree on this point that, and I'm going to talk more about this if we get time in a few minutes, but... the thing that my dad did that made the most fun for me was he took me everywhere. It was to the store to get gas. And one of the funnest times I remember is just going with him to work. Back in the day, you could do this. He would work weekend duty, and he used to take me out onto the flight line and put me in the truck with him. And he'd take me out by the aircraft and do all of that. And we were talking about the other day what we were going to share, and just the times we've had to travel together and go to Romania and do things, and it's just been some very special times. I think you have special times, but I want the guys today to share quickly maybe the greatest lesson that you've learned. Mr. Warren, what do you think that would be? I mean, lessons that have impacted you, some of the hardest, most challenging aspects that maybe have just a lesson that you've learned.
As a pastor, the most difficult principle to get people to accept into their lives is that you reap what you sow. Mm. Well over 90% of all my child-rearing issues have gone away when I made sure my obedience to the Father was right. Mm. You're foolish to expect your children to obey you if you won't obey your Father.
Yeah, that's good.
Because you reap what you sow. And wives, you have the similar issue. You're foolish to expect your children to obey if you're not going to be obedient to your husband and to the Lord. And when I understood that, you know how it is, you preach and you don't live it. When I began to live that, we had almost no child-rearing problems. There were always a Ray and God problem.
Dad, what do you think? Greatest lesson.
probably the greatest lesson that I've learned is don't look at other people. You raise your family with God in front of you and you following Him, and forget everybody else. When I have always found myself struggling is when I would, as a father, kind of look to people that were saved longer than I, doing things that I might not necessarily would think were bad, but would find out sooner or later they weren't for us. So I have to say this quick to make this clear to you. One of the things I grew up without parents, so for me it was a plan. It was a plan. It was a plan to teach my boys everything I possibly could, so when they left home, if they walked away from God, they knew they could come back. That was my plan. And I would pour into them everything I possibly could, both spiritually and humanly as possible. And so that was, for me, the difficult thing was trying to plot a course that sometimes was different than others.
I think a big lesson that I learned was that I need to let Chad be Chad and not me.
Yeah. There you go.
That's good. Speaking of greatest lessons, being a father and a dad presents a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges. Whether you're a spiritual father or a mentor, being a biological dad, the emotions that you go through as a father are challenging. I asked the men here today to share one or some of the hardest and most challenging aspects personally that being a dad has been, and then to couple that with the passages of Scripture or maybe the things of God that helped sustain them through fatherhood and help them. And so, Mr. Houghton, I want to start with you, and I'd like you to share maybe one of the hardest things for you about fatherhood, and then how maybe the Lord sustained you, a passage or a principle or something that you clung to that helped you during those times.
Trying to deal with the fact that I thought I was losing my son. And then also when I would let his mom correct my parenting skills. Those are probably a couple of the biggest challenges for me. But Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. I don't think I could have made it without that verse. Knowing, and it's a promise from God, and when God promises something, you know He's not going to break His promise. And we know that all things work together. I mean, it didn't seem like things were going to work together, but they did.
Amen.
And another passage, really my life verse, is Philippians 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which
That's
is
good.
In Christ Jesus. And I've had to just stay the course. I want that prize, and I still want that prize.
Amen. Amen.
And those are two passages that have really helped me through the years.
Amen. Mr. Warren?
Isaiah tells us three times about learning that's precept upon precept, line upon line. And I found one of the most difficult things was letting them make their own decisions and then having to work through their own personal consequence of it. What sustained me was that I knew the principle, the precept, the line was right. And I had to let that work in their life without forcing it in their life.
Probably for me, it would be that my boys believed everything I would tell them. They would do everything I would ask of them to the point that it would scare me. It really would, because if I made a mistake, they could point it out real quick. And I didn't want them to see a dad that had a double standard or that was flip-flopping around. And it was very difficult for me to toe that line. And I also, my verse that I live my life by is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in Christ. And I found that there had to be a consistency, because Todd worked with me for 15 years, my other son for 5 years, there had to be a consistency. And I found that most difficult because there were times that I failed in that area. And I really don't like that because I know that my boys hung everything on their lives based on what I would show to them. And so that was very difficult.
Chad and Micah, quickly, we just have a few minutes, but quickly, would there be something you'd want to add to something that even as young dads and fathers now that you find is a challenge and struggle quickly?
No, I guess, you know, for me, I can't pass along my desires to my kid. I mean, that my children, if I could, that'd be easy because I desire great things for them, desire them to love the Lord, desire for them to know that I love them. But my desires don't rule the day. My actions do.
Mm-hmm.
And the very thing that Pastor Tom had just said, that they're watching, you know, and that's a scary thing. I wrote down a quote that I remember where I read it. Don't worry that your children never listen to you. Worry that they're always watching you.
Hmm.
And
all right, that's enough.
Fair enough.
I think really to go along with what he just said, I think we had the same answer, maybe worded it a little bit differently. What I am scared about the most is I cannot persuade my children's heart to love God. Mm. And I want their heart to be like my heart, the same way that he wanted me and all of us, for that matter, to follow Christ. And it was clearly a work of God and not a work of a parent because, you know, we can't produce that. And I think the verse that has helped me, and I look to not as the only verse, but as a verse that stands out, is in Colossians 3. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And I don't want to discourage the process that God wants to do in my kids' hearts.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard when you see your children making choices that you don't like. And when you find things out that crush your spirit. And I think the greatest thing for me that has been a struggle, and was a struggle, was that I had to learn to pray differently and to enter into a deeper relationship with the Father. And I appreciate what Pastor Warren was saying, that it starts with us, dads. It starts with our hearts and communicating. And I think one of the passages that was an anchor point for my life during some choppy waters a few years back was that God is so faithful.
Amen.
And His mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
And that we get a new day tomorrow. We get new grace tomorrow. We get new love tomorrow. His promises don't change. And that He's ever faithful to us. And I'm thankful for a faithful Heavenly Father.
Amen.
The landscape that we live in today is changing. We just completed a men's Bible study challenging our men to step up. There are a lot of wisdom and lessons that can be learned having other godly men and mentors around you. And with these three men on the platform here with us, I want them to take just a minute each or so just to encourage the guys, to the senior pastors who are up here with us. If you would take a moment and some words of wisdom briefly, and then an encouraging word to the fathers who are here, and maybe to the fathers who have lost it and can't go back and change things but would like to. Maybe some fathers, we've got young dads out here, we've got spiritual dads, we've got dads at different seasons of life, dads in transition. And so, Mr. Warren, I'd like to start with you.
When you live your life in Christian circles, everything is more about God than what it normally is as a layman. And one of the things that I've learned early, and I wish I could just get this across to everyone and listen very carefully because I don't want you to hear me wrong. You must not require your child to serve God. You must inspire your child to serve God.
Mm. That's good.
When you demand, what you're going to do is you're going to drive away.
Yep.
Mike and I were talking, I think, yesterday, and he was talking about the simplicity of always knowing when he got up in the morning that he would see me sitting in a certain place reading my Bible. I didn't make him read his Bible, but he was inspired to read his Bible because he saw me do it. And so I say to you, if you want your child to serve God, don't preach at them. Be the example that inspires them.
That's rich right there. That's deep. Dad?
Probably my encouragement to you would be stay the course. When you fail, the greatest thing you can do is tell your children, I made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the second thing to do is, as Pastor just mentioned, inspire them, encourage them. I've always said this to the military people. Dad and Mom, remember this. Your kids want you to be the hero. Be the hero.
Good. One word that looms in my mind is insulation. The culture that we have today is humanistic. It's self-centered. It's politically correct. And we need to insulate our kids from that. I think of a passage, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's humanism. That's self-centeredness. That's politically correct. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to teach and train our children in the Word of God. When they're little, that's when it's easier for them to memorize Scripture. But we need to figure out how we can make the Bible come alive to our kids. We need to teach them principles so that they know how to deal with peer pressure, anger, even the influences of social media. But most importantly, which has already been said here, is that we need not to preach to our kids, but talk to them. Sit down, talk to them, share how Bible principles can help their lives. And most of all, be humble.
Chad, can you quickly... just a minute here.
I guess my challenge would be to all the dads, guys in general. It's a principle across the board. But I mentioned a little bit yesterday at our men's Bible study. Our walk with Christ is absolutely connected and crucial to our being a good father, being a good husband. And you cannot try to separate the two. You must pursue a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ every day, and thereby your fatherhood, you being a dad, will have a great impact by that.
You know, I guess this would just be a concluding remark on some things that have already been said, but, you know, someone once said that there are very few big moments in your life. And that's really true. You look at big moments, you know. But our life is made up of thousands and thousands of small moments, and you know, I want to be like I envision and believe my dad to be, my parents to be, faithful in the small moments. Anybody can take them to church, but take them again. Anybody can get up reading your Bible, but read it again, Do it the next day. Do it the next month. Do it the next year. A mentor of my dad's, a professor that he had in school, he said that, and I've used the quote here before, that success is measured in decades. You know, I don't want to be, as a parent, a flash in the pan that just had a brief moment, but to get up in the small moments and be faithful, those are the moments that count, and those are the moments that are remembered.
I don't know who said this, but it certainly resonated with me that one of the greatest things a man can do for his children is to love his mother. And I would encourage you men to, first of all, love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely, because you'll never love your wife the way you're supposed to until you fall in love with the Lord.
Right.
You'll never love your family until you fall in love with the Lord. Surrender your heart to him. just give your life to Him. And he may not want you in full-time ministry, but He may just want you to be a full-time Christian. And so just love the Lord Jesus Christ with everything you got.
Yes.
Give Him your all. And in doing that, your relationships with your wives, your children, your coworkers, your friends, they'll get better, they'll get deeper, and they'll get sweeter. So I want to encourage you guys to do that. Well, our time is kind of coming to a close here, and so what we wanted to do today was exercise what is in many times a forgotten principle. We wanted to honor our fathers today, and we are grateful for each father that is here. And not just the fathers who are on the platform, but all of the fathers who are here today. And we have obviously a special gift for you, but we also have a unique gift today for each of the special fathers who are on the platform. We actually have a picture of that so you can take a look at it. And there is an inscription on there that makes mention to the fact of thank you for investing the time into our lives. It is a clock that will remind you of what you've invested, that it's not forgotten about, that your words of wisdom, your guidance, your prayers, your patience has left a legacy. And so we want to thank you for being a faithful father today, guys. Your legacy, by God's grace, men, will live on, and we pray that it will echo all through the halls of eternity. Our lives, as men, all of us, have been personally blessed. Our families have been blessed. Your fathering, your mentorship, your leadership. And as I shared yesterday with our men at the men's Bible study, the life of this church, the life of Faith Baptist Church, has been directly affected by the lives of these senior pastors up here on the platform. And so we not only thank you, but I think the church would like to thank you as well at this time. And so thank you, guys. We appreciate you. They're going to make their way off the platform at this time. And you can be seated. Thank you for that kind response. And dads, we showed you the gift, the picture of the gift, but you'll actually get the gift at 11, all right? And there's a few other little goodies in there. Sometimes when you come to one service or the other, some people say, well, they didn't do that at the 11, they didn't do that at the 9:30. I'm like, well, then just come to both if you're going to complain, all right? So you can do that if you want to, but there's just some things that we can't always do at the 9:30 that we can at 11 and vice versa. So there'll be a little presentation that we do at 11 that we can't really do now. One of the hardest things about Father's Day is knowing that for many this day is not that special. Some of you may be sitting out there and listening to what's being spoken and being said and think, wow, it must be nice. You know, I didn't have that and I didn't get that in my life. You didn't have the presence of a dad, the presence of a father. And if you did, maybe it was sporadic. For some of you, you probably didn't want the presence of your father. He was an unwelcomed visitor, an unwelcomed guest into your life. And I'm aware and sensitive to the fact that for most people, their view of God and our Heavenly Father often originates with their view of the earthly father. But can I just say to you that we should never try and measure our Father God by our earthly father? In fact, it should be the other way around. We should measure our earthly fathers by our heavenly fathers. You have a perfect Father in heaven who loves you unconditionally, one who has forgiven you and extended grace to you again and again. And it may very well be today that your father, like my own dad's biological father, just abandoned you. Whether it was a literal abandonment, an emotional abandonment, a relational abandonment, I want you to know what God's Word says about this today. Psalm 27:10 says that when my father and mother forsake me, what does it say, church? Then the Lord will take me up. Isn't that a comforting verse? Amen. And do you know why God will take you up? I'll tell you why. Because He loves you. And because that's what dads do. The scripture tells us in 1 John that God is love, and that God demonstrated his love for us by doing something that would forever alter history. It is the greatest act of love that has ever been given. It is when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And before Jesus came to earth, there was a birth announcement long before his coming. The scripture says in Isaiah 9:6, and we usually use this verse at Christmas time, but it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God." But I want you to notice this next title. Say it with me. The what? Everlasting Father. I love that title about God. The Everlasting Father. You know something, friends? There is a hunger in the heart of every person for the love of a father. No earthly father can fill the universal desire for Father God in the heart of every single person. You see, a good earthly father can help, but only the everlasting Father can fill the longing in your heart to be loved by Father God. 1 John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It's been said that the greatest thing we ever really do for someone is to sacrifice for them. There's been a lot of people in my life who along the way have made sacrifices so I could do things in my life. Because that's what fathers do. One of the people who've made some of the greatest sacrifices for you have probably been your parents and the people who love you the most, and our wives. My dad, after joining the Air Force, was selected for special duty and became a flight engineer. He flew for the presidential fleet. He carried congressmen, dignitaries, senators, generals. I actually have a picture of him back in the day when he was doing that. Of course, this caused him to be gone all the time. He was never home. And I was just a young lad at the time. And late one night, he had come home from a long trip, and he was leafing through some of the papers that I had left for him on the coffee table. One of the papers at the top, the heading for the assignment was to draw a picture of the thing that you hate the most. Draw a picture of the thing you hate the most. My dad described for me how I, in very great detail, drew a picture of his airplane with steps, and my dad standing on the steps with a suitcase in his hand, waving goodbye, and me off in the distance with a tear. The next day, my father went in, met with his commander, took off his flight wings, threw them on the desk, and said, "I'm resigning off of flight status." The commander said, "Tom, you should think it over. This is a career killer. You're on a fast track. You could potentially even become an officer. This is career suicide. You shouldn't do this. This is not a good choice for you." My father said, "I spent my life growing up without a dad, and I will not do that to my son." And I want to thank you, Dad, for making that choice. You can. And in a similar fashion, God gave us his best. He gave us his son. He put his son on the cross, and he sacrificed his son for the payment for sin. And that payment, that sacrifice, made all the difference. It was a sacrifice. Why? The same reason my dad made the sacrifice. Because he loved us. So that we might know and experience the love of the everlasting Father. Because the truth is this, friends. The love of the everlasting Father is unlike any earthly father. Today, our hope and prayer is that you would come to know the everlasting Father personally. It's been the testimony of all of the pastors who have been here this morning that the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice is what has changed our lives. It's what's made us who we are as men. It's our relationship with God. It's understanding that every day, even when we don't want to, we have to remember that there was a greater sacrifice that was made for us. And we have a duty and we have a responsibility to continue to bear that out today. Maybe today you've been away from your Heavenly Father for a while. I want to encourage you today to come home to him. Come back to him. Repent and restore your relationship with him. Renew your commitment and be reminded of his love for you. Maybe today you don't know the Heavenly Father. Maybe you're not in a relationship with him. Maybe you haven't accepted the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he made for you.
You know that God is not willing for you to die in your sin, but He wants you to repent. He wants you to know the Heavenly Father. Our prayer today is that you would do that, that you'd call on the name of Jesus Christ and that He would save you. That's our heart's desire here as a church, is my heart's desire as a pastor. And in closing, can I just say this today? That no matter what kind of father you had, no matter what kind of father you've been, we've all made mistakes. Our dads have made mistakes. The reality is this, no one's perfect except one. Amen? Fixate your eyes on Him. Center your life on Him. Surrender to Him. And watch the amazing things that Father God, our everlasting Father, will do in your life.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.